Hello.
It's been a long time, y'all. I didn't even know how to operate.
It's been a long time coming.
I'm gonna need you know how to operate this.
I forgot. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Can We Talk Sports? I am Karen Reese. I am one of your hosts. I am a community mom. I love my kids from DeSoto, Texas. They my babies. And I believe in building where you sit. And so I'm just excited to be here to share some information with you guys.
Okay. Who's next?
Well, hello. I'm Carmen, a.k.a. Mama D. I'm a sports mom, a sports aunt. I've been a volleyball official. I blackjack deal. My husband and I have several companies going. One is Effort Needs No Talent. It's a sports company. I'm a licensed specialist. I sell Medicare. So this is a really busy time for me right now.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is your girl, Kawashika. I'm so excited. I missed the ladies, but I am a sports mom all around. Right now, my baby girl, she is in volleyball, guys, and she's on varsity. So I'm excited about that. She's only a sophomore, so yes, it just keeps going. But I've been a sports mom for my boys. They attended one attended Colorado, of course, USC. Of course, we come from DeSoto, U. So I will always be a sports mom. Yes, indeed.
Well, hello, ladies. I am Angela Proud. I'm excited to be back in the room with these lovely ladies. These ladies love to have fun. I've watched you guys when I'm not on the show. So you guys do it big and I love it. So I wear a lot of hats, guys. I run my own business, Coach with Pride. That's leadership training and development. I'm also a published author and speaker. I definitely am a sports mom. I think that's why I'm here. I have, my son is in the NFL. He plays for the Las Vegas Raiders currently. He's a cornerback, number 27, look for him. I also had one that went to North Carolina A&T State University. He had a full ride scholarship. Right now he's an engineer. And I've got three other babies that I won't even get into. They're not really sports oriented. So I'm just excited to be here. And the last thing I want to tell you guys is that me and my husband in our area, but also in this southeastern region, we do something called sports consulting, where we go out to high school parents and kind of try to educate them on what the expectations should be as far as their kids' recruitment in all sports, not just football, in all sports. So I'm excited to be here and give some insight today with you ladies. Thanks for having me.
What's up? This your girl Shannon. I'm back. You know that, right? So look, I got so much going on. I'm so excited. I have
my daughter just got tore her ACL. So I won't be watching her play college ball this year. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, yeah. I got my other ones back in sports. But other than that, I have been working on a book for athletes development. Just kind of been MIA, you know what I'm saying? I know y'all haven't seen me a while on Facebook. I came off in April and it's actually been great. You know, just kind of been to myself, hitting, grinding, and keeping in contact with Karen and trying to get focused and ready to get back for season 4 of Can We Talk Sports? Oh my God, I'm so excited. Season 4. Oh, it's going to be nice. So we've been talking about it and everything. But so anyway, listen, if you are on YouTube, I just need you to hit that like button, that subscribe button. Go ahead and follow us. If you are on Facebook, you can follow us at Can We Talk Sports. If you are on Instagram, follow us at Can We Talk Sports. On YouTube, go ahead and give us that thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? And so let's get right into it. Okay, listen. So Karen called. She said, Shan, we got to talk. I said, well, she goes, so much going on around here. We got the merger. We got Dion. We got NIL. I'm like, oh, my God. So we're going to get started with the XFL merger. I'm actually excited about it. Yeah. I'm ready. I told you last year. Was it last year when we was doing the show? I said, the Rock.
Baltimore.
I said, yes. The Rock came to piss on Jerry's world. Remember that? I said that. I said, he kind of came and pissed on Jerry's world. Like, he made a boss move in Texas, and now he's making another boss move and merging? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to talk about. So, Karen, go ahead and roll that footage so we can talk about this.
All right.
Move the chains.
Welcome to the End Zone YouTube. Let's move the chains. We have huge news for the USFL and XFL. It's been officially announced by both leagues that, well, they have the intent to merge. We're going to talk about why that word is very important. So I'm just going to read this little graphic that was posted on social media. It says, today the USFL and the XFL announced their intention to merge, subject to customary regulatory approvals, and if the transaction is consummated, the new league will establish best-in-class operations based on the most recent seasons of both leagues. This historic combination will anchor professional spring football with substantial capabilities and resources to ensure future growth and continue to enhance the development of the collective players, coaches, and staff that are coming together. More details regarding the league will be announced at a later date.
Wow. Okay, so ladies, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I want to start. So I think it's going to cut down on the opportunities that the kids have. Well, you have two different separate organizations, XFL and USFL, and that's giving more kids more opportunities to go play the game that they love. And so coming together, they're going to have to cut some things out. So I think it's going to take away some opportunity for our kids.
I don't know about that. I'm happy about the idea because let me tell you what it's really about. It's about money, okay? So, you know, we've had these types of leagues come up before, right? And so everybody is obviously vying and trying to compete with the NFL. But the NFL is so substantiated. They've got all the money. They've got all the sponsorship. So when you talk about The Rock and the XFL joining with the USFL, money, they're going to come together as well, and that's going to be a good thing. I don't think it's going to be fewer opportunities. I think that young men are going to see that the NFL is not the only league in town, and they are going to go for it. And I think that it has the potential to be big, like really, really big, because anytime you can start getting in the NFL's pocket, they're going to try their best to get you out of there. And so they may then, right, want to form some sort of partnership with you or do something, and everybody's going to make money. And so I think that's what it's about ultimately. But I don't think that the boys are going to hurt. I think it's going to give them more opportunities, just like the XFL and the I've been watching the USFL. I haven't watched a whole lot of the XFL, but I know some of those young men in the USFL. It was a couple of guys from Notre Dame that I watched. It's a young man from Tennessee State that I watched. And they're playing some great football. So I'm excited about the merger if it's going to happen. But it all boils down to that money.
I agree with Angela. I look at it as the different opportunities that they'll have. And I look at it, I don't know if you guys watched last year when they launched. He has a show called 54th Man. Have anybody ever seen it? So The Rock followed the journey of the XFL, and he did a show called The 54th Man because he was considered the 54th man because he never made the team. And so the story is about guys that were considered the 54th man, and it was actually really good if you watch it. And so I look at it as this is an opportunity for those that are the 54th man. But people don't understand, he also, a lot of the guys that played last year went to the NFL. They didn't stay in the XFL. I look at it as the XFL is just that opportunity for that 54th man to make it to the 53rd roster, right? So I don't look at it as, I don't even, if they do it right, it's really not a competition. It'll give the NFL more to look at, you know what I'm saying? It'll give guys an opportunity to kind of get their foot in the door and get back those that messed up and realize, you know, this is my second opportunity. This is a second chance for me. So let me get myself together. Let me go make the XFL and then move up to the NFL, because in the end, that's what everybody's goal is. NFL. That's never going to change.
I agree. Right?
But if you go to the XFL,
I agree, Shannon.
Yeah. It's a step.
Yeah. What you got, Carmen? Because I got a rebuttal.
I just see, not that they're lower, but I see the XFL and I see the merge as an opportunity. When you think of baseball, they have the minor leagues. They bring people up all the time from the minor leagues. When you look at basketball, they have their lower teams that they bring kids up from. So I see this as an opportunity. And I also see the merging. First of all, I go through withdrawals in February when football is over. So I want them to do well. I want it to be profitable. I'll go. I'll support. I'll take my money over to the Rock's place and watch games. Like, I want them to be successful. So if merging makes them more profitable and successful, I'm for it.
Rebuttal. Yeah, and that's what I read. Yeah. I read that too. You know, first of all, they will be able to enhance their skills, developing their skills and their talent. So when the merge come together, we're going to see, it's going to be, you know, more, you know, football players, and you get to see on the, what is it, USFL? Because I never got to watch them, but I was more interested in the XFL. So you're really going to see some talent, like, you know, I think it's going to be big, but I did read, like, I don't know which league it is, start losing money. So,
yeah. That was the XFL.
Okay.
And the USFL is making money. But my thing is, okay, if it's about money and if it's about the NFL and the NFL coming, what if the NFL come and buy them? Well, that still takes it on back to 53 people on a team that still narrows it down to how many people can make, unless the NFL extend their travel, their reserve team, add more people on the team, that still narrows it down. That still takes the opportunity away where they're actually getting able to play right now. But my husband, I had to ask my husband. I said, "What you think?" He said, "Well, in order for them to make it, they got to have some money. They have, in order for the XFL and the USFL make it, they got to have some money that's going to come in and play those players more or the same amount of salary that the NFL is making. That's the only way investors, that's the only way they're going to be able to sustain it if the XFL don't come in and buy them out."
Well, let me respond to that real quick. Okay, so first off, I said it was about money, and I agree that it still is about money, but they will not be able to compete. I don't think it's about them paying the players more money. No, The Rock wants to make more money. Mm-hmm. Whoever the owner is of the USFL, he wants to make more money. So as long as they're making the money that they need to make, where there's the potential there, because they're making a lot of their money off those ticket sales. And the USFL have people coming into their stands. So I know a few, several parents that their kids are over there playing. They're not making nearly as much as the guys in the NFL. But we have to understand that these young men want to play ball.
They want to
play ball. The dream is not over. And so I like it from the standpoint that it does give them another option. They are making money, and 9 times out of 10, they are still, they have a lot of incentives in these different leagues. And so I just think, I don't want them to be bought out by the NFL, because I do believe when you only have a 53-man roster and then maybe a 16, 17-man practice squad, you've got so many kids out here who now really have no clue what they're going to do, because football has been their life since they were 6 and 7. So giving these young men another opportunity, but putting pressure on the NFL, right? Putting pressure on them, because another thing about it too, for the guys, it keeps those guys healthy. There's one young man I know, his name is Chris Rowland. He plays with the USFL. He goes overseas somewhere and plays. So he's staying in shape and he's getting his money his way. So, I mean, like I said, I think it's a win-win for everybody. I don't think the NFL is necessarily going to like it, but to somebody else's point who made it, a lot of those guys from these smaller leagues are going to the NFL because they see what these guys are doing and they're saying, okay, well, we might have made a mistake on him. And it's giving them another opportunity. So I think it's a win-win personally.
It is a win-win. You know, you got the guys that are in the NFL that are released, because my son played in the XFL. So you got guys that are in the NFL that are released, as you know, because maybe they don't have enough film footage. Maybe they didn't put enough numbers up on the board. So now they have an opportunity to go to the XFL and play. Now, what you guys didn't know is even the XFL, if you do not make it, XFL is kind of linked up with the indoor arena football. So in other words, they look at those guys, get some film footage, and some of the guys get to go try out. Because my son, Chris, did the same thing. He didn't have enough film footage. He tried out for the XFL, so he went and played indoor football. Now he wants to try to go back. But the point is, it's just, I think it's an opportunity league. Everybody's looking at, it's got to make, it's an opportunity. That's why you don't have owners. In the XFL, there's only one owner. You don't have different owners of the team. And they're all stationed here in Texas. They're all stationed right there by the arena. He takes good care of them. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's about getting these guys a second chance.
Yeah.
That's how I looked at it. And a lot of the guys from the XFL went straight up to the NFL to make the money.
Yeah, that's why I say to grow and
Shannon, there are teams from different states.
Yes, all the teams are here. So there's 8 teams. They are all here. Mm-hmm. They during the season, they come here. Uh-huh. They train. They practice at different. So they might one team might practice at a high school. Another team might practice at the field. Another team might, at the stadium. Another team might practice at another high school. So they all practice at different high schools. There are 2 hotels that they're at. They're divided up. The coaches are here. Everyone is here. And so when my son went through it, he had the best doctors. He had the best equipment. You name it. The Rock took very good care of him before training season.
That's amazing.
Okay, I got another wrench to throw up in there. What if Deion coaches at that level? What do you think that he can change that level?
Coach at that level.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's not going to do it. I don't think
I know he's not. I know he's not. But I'm just saying, do you?
So watch this.
In a perfect world.
What he would change it.
Would he change it?
Oh, yeah.
No. Kaepernick. Kaepernick. I mean, but would Deion change it if he went to the XFL and the once they merged together and coached there? Do you think he could change the people, the stands, people in the stands?
Absolutely.
Well, I think that
as a 49er, if he'd have took the quarterback position an opportunity, he would have put butts in the stands. But you know what I'm saying? But he didn't want to do it.
I think it's got to grow a little bit more. First off, they can't afford Deion, right? So you got to realize a lot of these college coaches are making more money than. You know, I mean, come on. So they can't afford Deion right now. But as it grows, see, like I said, it's a win-win because as that grows, The Rock makes money, the USFL, they make money, they merge and come together. They've got to be making money first, because that's just, we live in corporate America, right? It's all about that mighty dollar. And so when they're making more money, see, they might be stealing some of the sponsors that the NFL's been getting. And that's where you're going to have a little bit of the dilemma now. And again, a lot of people are committed to it, but you see these young men, you see that it is just as entertaining. Like I said, I've not seen a lot of XFL, but I've watched a lot of USFL, and I think it's just, if not equally entertaining. And I'm with Shannon, whoever, somebody said they was having withdrawals. Like, when you season goes away, it's like, what am I going to do? I love basketball, but it just ain't the same. Like, I get real hyped up about football. So I just think it's going to be a win-win. But I think if Deion were to do something like that, it would have to definitely be later. And he probably would come in as an owner that's kind of like a Jerry Jones that's showing up all the time, you know, just to get people out there.
Yeah, the games are very intense in the XFL, because these guys are trying to prove themselves to get back to the NFL. So it's almost like college ball, right? Like, I love college ball. Like, these jokers play because they're trying to prove that they can play in the NFL. Well, the XFL is actually the same thing at that level, because they're trying to prove, or they want that opportunity to go back to the, if they played in the NFL, they either want the opportunity to go back, or if they've never played, they want the opportunity to play. So it's really, it's intense to watch the games. They're really good, actually. I was shocked this year.
Wow. They were really good. Yeah. Airing the XFL? Where is it airing?
I was very impressed with the level of play, Shannon.
It's Fox and ESPN.
Okay. But there are different times, right? Because somehow I'm missing the XFL. I'm missing it.
Spring season.
Yeah, spring. Okay.
Spring.
Yeah, start spring season. Yeah. So he reported to camp in January, and the season started right after the Super Bowl. It started a week after the Super Bowl.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The USFL started.
After it.
I think it's
so. They started right after the XFL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, because, you know, he tried to merge with the CFL, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, it's still up. You know, they're still trying to get it going. So hopefully, you know, they go ahead and merge together. I think that's going to be big all the way around overall. Yeah. So that'll be amazing.
And it's not only players. It's not only players. It gives the coaches chance, you know. Look at Bob Stoops. You brought Bob Stoops out of retirement, you know what I'm saying? So it gives coaches chance to coach at a professional level, not those that were just in college coaches, but now they're coaching at another level. So it gives coaches chance. I think it's just a step for everybody, not only the players, for trainers, for coaches, for assistant coaches. I mean, it's just a big step that he's given everybody. So
it is. And I know I want it to succeed, because I like that it gives our kids more opportunities to live out their dream.
What's next?
And another thing about them being separate, you guys, I feel like it splits the fan base. You know, like Shannon was saying, she watched the XFL, but somebody else watched the other one. So you merge it together, you're not splitting some, because I saw XFL, I think I saw them on Saturday, and I think I saw some Sunday games.
No, you're not splitting them, because they're two different times. So as soon as the XFL was finished, the USFL started. It was getting, hold on, let me think. They were reporting into training, if I'm not mistaken, last year. So they weren't two different.
They were playing at the same time.
Were they? Okay. I didn't see that.
Playing at the same time.
Mm-mm. There might be some overlap as far as playoffs.
I think it is. Some overlap.
Okay. As far as playoffs. Because I think one of them might have 8 games and one of them might have like 10. So, you know, when you talk about playoffs, you might have some overlap there. But I don't think that they're running into each other. I think they did that intentionally as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the NIL.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. So
I'm gonna let you start
Well, first I'm gonna play my little video I made that I need these parents to understand about the NIL, and that this money that these kids are getting is taxable money, and their parents need to understand that. So I had a video that I created. Let me let y'all see it.
Hey, parents and athletes. Ready to make the most of your name, image, and likeness, NIL, opportunities? Let's ensure your financial game remains strong with three essential tax knowledge that you need to about. 1. Taxes. When you sign a NIL contract, it's crucial to understand that your income may be taxable and will be reported on a 1099 form. As a small business owner, you'll be responsible for federal and state taxes. It's vital to consult with a tax professional to ensure you fulfill your obligations accurately. 2. Business entity. As a NIL athlete, you may function as a freelancer, earning income through contracts. 3. Employment taxes. As a small business owner, you'll need to pay both the employer and employee portions of certain taxes. It's a smart move to set aside funds for these self-employment tax throughout the year. Finally, athlete, armed with tax knowledge, you'll be unstoppable. Work hard, stay focused, and conquer the game of business. For your tax questions, go to our website www.koarfasttax.com and schedule a call or call us at 469-717-0902.
That's right, Miss Carrie.
That's putting the plugs in there, y'all. That's how it's gonna be. That's how it's gonna be when we go, when we start doing lives. Yeah. When we start doing our show, we're gonna have to let's pause for a station identification. So yeah, so Shannon, you was okay. You're back on. You okay? There's Angela back on. I guess people broke off. Yeah. So I just wanted to educate our parents about the NIL rule. But the one thing that I wanted to bring on, talk about, there was a player, and I'm going to go show his picture, that signed an NIL deal. This player right here. And he obviously, his parents did not read the contract. And he signed a deal for $400,000. And the contract was that the company that he signed with would get 15% of his NFL money when he made it to the NFL. So he did make it to the NFL, which means that that company would get $1 million of his money because he signed that NIL deal. So I just want to talk about 15%. How 15% of but he made $400,000 from them. So, but his NFL contract was like $1.8 million, and they was going to get 15. So now he filed a lawsuit against that company as far as predatory lending. And so I just want to talk to the parents about how important it is for them to look at these deals, really understand all rams of it. And especially the IRS, because that $400,000, his mom and them got a 1099. Somebody got a 1099, and somebody's going to have to file that money. Somebody's going to have to pay some self-employment taxes. And so you going into the NFL, you know, the IRS might be already after you, and you don't even know it. And so we just have to, it's just important for us to talk about it and educate our parents about these NIL deals.
Well, quick question. Did he get the $400,000 up front?
Well, I don't know how the NIL deal is structured, how they paid him. It might have paid him, you know, so much for his advertising, him showing up, because that's what the NIL, you're using your name, image, and likeness to bring notoriety, marketing to these companies. So I don't know how they used them how they paid him.
Karen, it's whatever the contract is, right? So if it's a clothing deal, you have to wear their merchandise maybe everywhere you go. But it's like usually it's not like a lump sum up front. You have to do something for those services because, like you're saying, it's advertising, right? And just to go a little bit further into what you were saying, Karen, he signed something that said they get 15% of all of his future earnings, mm-hmm. not just what he signed as a rookie, earnings. All of his future earnings, which is crazy, which is ludicrous, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Absurd. Wow. I can't imagine somebody overlooking that. Perhaps they just did not read the fine print, which is what, you know, we're telling people, even with your national letter of intent, you got to read. Every school does not give you a scholarship for 4 years. Some of them reserve the right to say whether they're going to renew your scholarship year after year. Read the fine print, people, and NIL deals are no different. But I agree with you, Karen. So many people have gotten excited about NIL. They're just jumping at the chance to get money. So no, they're not thinking about taxes. No, they're not reading everything that they should. And it's just, it's a sad thing, because reading is fundamental. That's what I'm going to say. Make sure you've got an attorney. Make sure you got somebody else. The money that you're getting, you can afford to pay someone to make sure that you don't sign something that says that you are going to pay someone 15%. Agents don't even make that of your future earnings.
For so 25 like, years.
For, I mean, we're mm-hmm. just crazy. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So
I hate that. I hate to hear that.
But he sued him and he won. I think he won. They're not going to have to be adhered to that, because that's illegal.
Yeah. I mean, but just to think that they would even put that type of language in the kid's contract. Come on now. I mean, but that's probably because
they're taking advantage.
Yeah. Right. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, because the ignorance, it's like when you don't know, yeah, these guys will sell you a dream. I can remember some of the agents that were recruiting my son. I'm thinking to myself, now it's going to be based on what he does on the field. It's going to be based on his film, not what you're talking about. But so many of these guys are just shysters. I mean, for lack of a better word, they basically use their position. They get parents who don't know, who don't really have a team, who can't really go and ask somebody, or they're afraid to, and they take advantage of them, because that's exactly what that was. They just took advantage of this young man. And like I said, the fact that they missed that is just, I don't know, it's over my head.
Wow. Yeah. And now they're the Ted Cruz is trying to get some laws to govern the NIL money. I had a video on that too, but a lot of people are saying that's not good for the kids. They want the schools to govern the money, which put us right back to the school had the money before and they didn't right. give our kids anything. Now you right. want to govern how much money comes in.
Well, I think it's actually the states, though, isn't it? It goes by each state. Like, they have state laws pertaining to the NIL. No, it should not go back to the school, because just like you said, the schools didn't want to give the boys the money anyway. And just for the record, I'm team pay the kids, because y'all making money, so pay the kids. That's where I'm staying. But I'm not with a whole bunch of laws being introduced. We don't need all of that. They just need good attorneys that's going to rob them as well and be able to help them with some of that fine print.
Yes.
Good attorneys.
So next, hey, you guys want me to share this video about this referee pulling out the helmet of a player here in Texas? And I want to get y'all mama's opinion about this. Okay. Let's watch this.
Okay.
Well, the UIL is investigating an incident caught on camera between a high school football referee and also a player. Now, it happened Friday night during a game between Dallas Madison and Whitney High Schools. Fox 4's Rebecca Butcher spoke to the player's father, who also happens to be a head coach.
It's video that has hundreds of thousands of views showing a high school linebacker who appears to accidentally run into an official. The parents of the player say what happened next was uncalled for. The official grabbing the player's face mask, ripping off the player's helmet, then throws a penalty flag on the player.
In this incident, he was, you know, tracking the quarterback, and the quarterback went to the other side of the field, and he ran into him and grabbed his helmet and pulled it off.
David Haynes Jr. is the father of the player and the head football coach for Whitney High School. His son, David Haynes III, goes by Trey. Trey's mom shot the video of the incident. The UIL says it's looking into the matter.
My son, that was a player in the incident. He said that the official kind of kept bumping him, as far as, like, he's dropping back in coverage, and he'll kind of get bumped by the official like he was behind him. And so I was like, well, just kind of adjust and go around him.
After the altercation, Trey was ejected from the game.
I don't know what he got thrown out for. But when a kid gets thrown out, they got to miss the game next week. And my son's a senior. Not all his games are guaranteed.
The official involved is an umpire. It's not unusual for an umpire to inadvertently get hit during a game because of his positioning on the field. Coach Haynes says everything was normal up to the point of the altercation.
And you watch the film, it's just a normal football game. The kids are playing football game. They're, you know, normal penalties, normal everything. Flags here, flag, you know, every once in a while. But it's just a normal football game, so you wouldn't think that would happen.
The UIL posted a statement on Twitter saying it's aware of the altercation that happened Friday and looking into it.
I want, stuff to be served and things to be done right. And my son is a coach's kid. He's a second generation coach's kid. I just want to see the UIL handle it, because this could be somebody else's baby. Just like he's my baby, this could be somebody else's baby.
Rebecca Butcher, Fox 4 News.
Okay.
Now, real quick, boy. Guys, I need to find out, is he kidding me? Oh, God. I said, oh, hey, God. You know, we're a sports family all over. So I need to find out.
He might be. He might be. But I'm glad they let him, the coach, the daddy, come in, because if the mama been coming,
right?
Oh,
what?
Okay, so let me give my spill on watching the video. Okay, the first time when he was backing up and the ref saw him and he kind of tapped him. After that, I think the ref could have moved. The ref could have kind of stepped to the side or stepped back, because I watched it again. And because he was, you know, when he's backing up, he's not looking. He's like, he's watching the ball. He's focused. So he's not thinking someone's behind him, because, that's his team. So he's backing up. So when the ref gently, you know, was like, okay, hold on. So when he saw the young man cut, because the young man cut one way, and when he saw the ball getting ready to go, he went to cut back. It was a simple step back and let the boy get out of his way. Simple as 1, 2, 3. But no, he stood there.
When you think about it, this is the ref has a position as well. He's the umpire, bro. You done been in this position before. Hello. So when you tap him, just like you just said, Shannon, listen, move, just take a step back. You can keep your eye on what's happening as the official, but that dude overreacted so horrible. But all I'm going to say is that he better be glad it wasn't my child. Because I think I told y'all before, you know, when my babies were even in Little League, I almost got kicked out of a couple of games, okay? Because what you're not going to do...
Wait, no.
Yeah, that was a little foul to pull the helmet off. That was a little foul. He just... And then gave him kicked him out the game. Yeah, that was brutal. But you know what? I have to give the mom and the dad kudos, because they didn't go on the field and act up, because it could have turned a whole nother way, right? So the fact that they didn't go on the field, the fact that they didn't act up, that's big. I know as parents, we got something to say, but now, you know, the fact that they didn't, I think it's going to go in their favor. You know what I'm saying?
I
think if they would have, I think it wouldn't have went for their favor.
Well, for the record, back in the day, we had camcorders, right? So, you know, they got these little devices now. So you're right. We do have to know how to behave. But sometimes, you know, football, and I'm not saying any other sport isn't a passionate sport, but football is just full of passion. Like, I mean, I'm talking about from people hitting hard and you getting excited, or guys, you know, running into the end zone and making a dance. It's just a lot of emotions going on with that entire sport. So I just really, in all honesty, I commend the parents as well for them not overreacting, because I promise you, I probably would have jumped over that fence. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's just me.
Karen, we knew you would be out there acting crazy.
No, I would have been nice. I would have been nice. I like the fact that the mom is the one recorded it. You know, nowadays, thank God that we can record things now, because a lot of times nobody will believe our side unless you see it. And so the fact that they were able to see it, they're able to be able to go back and look at it, and now they're going to let the UIL handle it. I think we got some AI going on, you guys. If you, I put in the chat about the technology is acting crazy, but here's a mom's comment. If a mom had comment, it was going down. I agree with the ref was wrong. That's why they get knocked over. Yeah, they get knocked over a lot of times, and they get on up. They don't get up and throw a penalty. They should make the ref stay in shape so they can move with speed.
That referee had a bad day.
Right.
Guys, I thought he looked like he was a little out of shape.
Yeah. Something ticked him off.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Something ticked him off. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys, right. Coming from being a referee, my opinion is, so when you're a referee, you're not supposed to influence the game. You're not even supposed to be noticeable. You're just supposed to be making sure that everything is fair and equal. So you guys have seen soccer, you've seen basketball. You said those referees get out the way. You are not supposed to be in the way of anything that's going on. You're supposed to get out the way and let the play happen. You're supposed to basically be invisible. So if you can't move and get out the way, that's your fault. That's not the player's fault. The player is not looking for you. The player is looking for the ball, making an interception, sacking the quarterback, stopping the play. The player is not looking to see where's the umpire. So that's the umpire's job to get out the way. And I am heartbroken that this kid got kicked out of the game and maybe will not be able to play in the next game. And hopefully better minds will intervene and say, hey, this kid, we have to reverse this. This kid can't be kicked out of the
game. I think they'll reverse it. I think they'll reverse it. Because really the kid didn't do nothing but just throw his hands up and point to the ref and just throw his hands up. That's all the kid did. Now, I don't know if he said some words to the ref, but he didn't go fight the ref. He just threw his hands up. Right. And I think he was shocked. His response, he wasn't trying to fight the ref. I think his response that the ref grabbed his face mask. So he was trying to get him off. Like, what are you doing? I'm in the middle of a game. So it wasn't like he was trying to fight him. He didn't go back to hit him after he took the helmet off. He just stood there like, what right. just happened? So for him, I think they'll reverse it. I'm hoping they'll reverse it.
Yeah. I hope
if
so
they
too.
Don't, well, then that's going to be, well, a, that's gonna be player, a whole other can of whoop.
If the player pulled the face mask off, that would be a penalty. The player would have gotten ejected from the game had he pulled the face mask, the helmet off. That player would get ejected from the game. So how's it okay for the referee to do that? It's not.
That's great perspective, Mama D. I I'm real hard on refs, so I appreciate you being a ref and just understanding, because you're right. I think I've never been to referee school or anything like that, but what you're saying, they should be, you know, not even seen in most instances. And in the league, they get knocked down, they get pummeled, and you know, them guys are coming hard, a little bit harder than this dude got hit or scraped or bumped. Or whatever. So, and they get back up and they keep running down the field so that they can call the play and do their job. So you're right. If they're affecting the game in that way, and then for him to throw a flag, he was clearly emotional. He was clearly in his feelings. He was clearly blaming this young man for playing football. Why'd you choose to ref and be in your position if you aren't afraid of getting bumped a little bit or maybe even getting knocked over in some instances?
Right, because it's not intentionally. If anything, you get knocked over, it's an accident because the kids are trying to make a play.
Right.
So
who ref the ref?
Mamas.
Right. Right.
Mama coming off the top. Mama, hold up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so we never heard that in history, guys. Listen, we never. ain't seen that since my kids play football or any sport. I've never seen that happen before. That's crazy. This 2023.
Yeah. Totally different. All right, Karen, we ready for your topic?
Yeah, you know what? I had the word Dion, Dion, Dion. I said, dang, if I would have been in front of him, he would be like, you're not supposed to call me Dion. You would have called me Coach Prime or Coach Dion. So I had to kind of set that up. There he is right there.
All right now. Dion Sanders, Prime Time.
Yes. Well, all right, so who's going to open this one up?
Wow. I'm just, you know what? When we first heard about him going to Colorado, I was just like, really? Oh my God. It was just like, you know, Colorado being out there. I mean, I knew he was gonna love it. But I said, yeah, he's about to change the game because I know firsthand how the coaches was before that. You know, I'm not gonna do no bashing, but I said, oh, he about to change the game. Long as he stand his ground, it's been a, when I say, and it done turned in four games. And it's just so electric, amazing how this coach, but I'm gonna tell you this, and I'm gonna let y'all talk. It was a video that I watched when he was at the other school before, and he said everywhere he go, he's gonna bring Jesus with him. He can't go nowhere if he don't bring Jesus. So I think that right there, that just set the tone. If you don't like it, hey, hit the door. But yeah, I'm loving it. Everybody is tuned in. And then he's like a father figure. Not just to the players, to the other coaches and the trainers. And I'm pretty sure people in social media land, like the fathers, like, oh, we need to step up our game. But yeah, so I'm excited for him. Absolutely.
Let me go ahead
because I know you got something.
First off, I mean, I've been a Dion fan. I've been a Dion fan for a minute. And what I do know about coaching, what I do know about playing, you know, it's a mindset. And so Dion Sanders is a winner. Right. He's a winner. Okay. So he's been winning since he probably was 6 or 7 years old playing rec league. And when he got to Jackson State, my son was still at North Carolina A&T, right? And A&T just kind of ran the gauntlet for a minute. Well, at least my son's whole time there. In all honesty, the only thing kind of slowed them down was COVID. But they won the Celebration Bowl. I think it was 5 years they ran it at that point. I think they won at least four of them. So when Dion came to Jackson State, they're in the SWAC. So us being in the MEAC, I was kind of like, man, we should be doing, you know what, Dion. But Dion did so much for Jackson State University. So that's first. It was a lot of people that was mad at him for leaving, but he left that program in a better situation, in a better place. I had no doubts when he went to Colorado. I wasn't mad at him. I was on the train. What they say, the bandwagon. I'm on that wagon wherever he go, on to the next one. And so the guy before Dion at Colorado State had only won one game. So when he won them first two games, I was like, he already doing better than the other guy. And I don't know how long he was there. So my point of saying all of that is, I know a lot of people are on the wagon or whatever, but what you have to know about Dion Sanders is that he's a winner and he has that winning mindset. He refuses to lose, and he got them young men just that same way. He loves on those boys. He brings different things to them. He's bringing NIL deals to them. And he's making sure that they're getting their just due. He's making locker rooms better. He's making stadiums better. He's not just out there coaching and flossing. He's putting his money where his mouth is as far as making these programs better. And there, and you can't say, what else can you say about that? The dude is a winner. I love it. I'm going wherever he go. Team Dion. Let's get it.
Everybody, but, you know, he always been like that, though. Yeah. I don't know why people are so surprised. I don't know why people are so surprised. Dion has always, always been like that. The moment he touched that football field and played with Dallas, he's just always been like that. And you wanted to watch him. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, I got to watch Deion because what he going to do today? Because Deion going to show out today. But he backs up everything he does. So I don't understand why everybody is making such a big deal. Because you know what? I know why it is. Can we be real? Can we be real? You know why he making a big deal? Because he this and he changing the game. And he's got everybody's attention. And it's like, you ain't supposed to have that kind of attention.
Right.
But
he's nervous. And they nervous.
And he's changing, like you said, he's changing these young men's lives. He's giving them opportunities. I mean, he put those guys even when in the XFL, you know, they had camps. And he called out the NFL, like, where y'all at? You know what I'm saying? For mm-hmm. for Black college, where you at? Why aren't you over here looking at mm-hmm. our boys? He brought the NFL, he made them look at him. He brought the XFL to Jackson State. So he's like, look, but he's always been like that. So why y'all acting like he's brand new? He's Deion. He's prime. So okay, prime. Just that right there. Like, come on. So just either flow with it. And he's not doing anything derogatory.
Right.
He's not doing anything to embarrass himself. He's always been like that. And he showed how he was as an athlete, and now he's showing how he is as a coach. And you can't take it from him. And his boys, I mean, he's got those boys coming up. I mean, they're just killing the game and the funny thing is they're doing it as a family. So it's not just like him by himself. They're doing it as a family. And thus far, you ain't heard nothing crazy about those boys, his sons, his daughter. You ain't heard them out there in the street. You ain't heard them out there got 4, 5, 6, 7 babies. You ain't heard them out there. Just let them be. That's how I feel about it.
But everybody can't handle that, though. You too know, because yeah. That confidence, you know, people look at, especially a Black man being as confident. And Deion's always been like that. Him dancing, he, you know, his little shuffle, you know, he's always done that. You're absolutely right. But he's backed it up and he's doing nothing different now. But everybody don't want to see that. You know, somebody was talking and it was an interview and they were saying how you wouldn't believe the people that were kind of plotting against him and what they were saying. I think that was like on one of the morning shows, one of the sports morning shows. And yes, I do believe it because, again, he's a Black guy. Let's not forget. Let's not play pretend. How many Black coaches are there in the NFL? How many Black coaches, owners are there in the NFL? You know, so we are the minority in that group, although our sons are the workhorse. We're still 70 to 80% Black in the NFL, but you don't see many of us. And they are threatened by Deion. Nobody really want Deion to get up there now. They trust and believe that they want to keep him, what they used to say, in his place. And that's why you get all the hate. That's why you get the coaches kind of coming together to share tape and film and strategies to try to beat Deion, because he's doing just what he's always known how to do, is that's win. And he's teaching those young men how to win. But everybody ain't happy about that.
I mean, look at that comeback game. That was a comeback. Listen.
It was still
But let's say Mata lost. Yes, they might have lost, but let me tell you, they didn't lose.
That's right.
So they lost, but they didn't lose. Because to come back, what was it? When I watched, it was like 34 to 13. To come back like they did? It was a win. No matter which way you look at it, to me, it was a win. Because you came back like that? Like, man, come on. So somewhere he rallied those young men. He said, listen, he got them together and they went out there and they delivered. And you can't take it from them. So that right there gave them a whole nother level of confidence that I believe the rest of their season, it's going to be.
But like I said, he already doing better than he had before, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You guys, mm-hmm. Carmen, what you got, Carmen?
Well, okay, you guys, so we talked about this. When opportunities were coming open for Deion, but he hadn't chosen a school yet, we talked about Deion leaving Jackson State. And I do believe I was the only one that said, if Deion has an opportunity to better himself, he should take it. Okay. Now, he didn't just better himself. His son would never be considered Heisman Trophy material at a historically Black college. He would have never, a year ago, he would have never been considered. And all these kids that he brought with him that are getting seen and stuff now, it's not even just about Deion. It's about his legacy and what he takes with him. And whether he stays at Colorado or goes to bigger and better things, I say, Deion, the world is open. Just take it, whatever they offer you. So I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud. I'm proud of Colorado. I'm proud that they're supporting him. Have you guys seen the little bitty lady who he went to the door and she hugged him? Did y'all see that? The little white lady with the glasses?
Yeah,
Miss Peggy. Yes, the way that they support him and the way he's bringing money into that college,
You know his son, I think, I think it's Shiloh. He has his own drink.
Shiloh and Shadre.
Okay, one of them have their own smoothie drink in Colorado. I don't know where it is. I was watching a video because his mom flew into town and he was like, Mom, we're going to go get one of my smoothie drinks. And at one of the locations there, he has his own drink. That's huge. Yeah.
Did he have his hair back or did he have twists in his hair?
It's braided. Yeah. I think his own drink
there. Now let's talk about Shador's NIL.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's making a lot of money.
It's a million. That's what Mama D said though about she don't think that Shador would be in the Heisman race. I don't see how he wouldn't. Now, you know, I don't really believe in busts. You know, when people say somebody was a bust, I don't believe in that. I think, you know, again, all these guys are definitely capable, but a lot of times you can get that's not the word I'm talking about. What is it when you like somebody passes you over? I don't believe in that. Now, but that is a strategy. Sometimes that happens. But Shador, even at Jackson State, was putting up numbers that are just crazy. The boy can throw the ball.
Yeah, but I don't think they were looking at him like that, though. I mean, they're not looking at him.
Nobody was calling him Heisman Trophy material at Jackson State.
If they weren't, it's because of something else. It's not because he wasn't performing. Well, that's my point.
I agree
with
you.
It's publicity.
Yes.
Because he was at a historically Black university and they did not take him seriously. They overlooked him because of where he was. But he hasn't changed. He even coming out of high school, he came out of Trinity Christian School in Cedar Hill. Even coming out of high school, the child was amazing. He was good.
It's that thing that we kind of look at right now, how competition. I remember my son went to Trinity. I left Trinity and went to a public school because of competition, because of the teams that they would play. And I'm thinking that those particular coaches wouldn't look at, because I was playing at Trinity and they wasn't playing elite or more profile teams, that my son was a good player. So we went to a public school who were playing, you know, 5A, 6A teams. And so I think that's how they would probably look at him, is the fact that he's at a HBCU. He's not an Alabama. So if you're not playing against Alabama, so how can you be considered a Heisman when we don't even know if your team could even keep up with them? So I think that's more what she was meaning about being at HBCU. Mm-hmm. And then now that he's at a Power 5.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's why Deion got into the game, because we also have to look at the fact that he doesn't just have one son. He's got two out there that are making plays, that are doing what he's trained them to do. And who better to coach them than their daddy? You know, my husband says a lot, you know, that we got famers walking around because somebody decided they was going to play somebody else, or somebody decided that they wasn't going to push this young man. And so that's a real, very real thing. But I commend him as a father and as a coach for getting out there and putting his money where his mouth is to secure his son's future. Because right now, baby, he in the Power Five. They can't say nothing.
That was impossible to secure his son. And that's what it was about.
It's not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's not just his sons. Like, he brought everybody's sons. You know, there's another young man. There's another young man, he calls him his son, and I don't remember what number he is, but when I tell you, he treats him like his own son. In the interview, he called him, "This is my other son." Like, as father of these young men, and he has brought these young men from the time they were in, what do you call, not little league, but little football players, all the way up. He had a team, they were called the Truth. Right. And they were out of DeSoto? Were they out of DeSoto?
Dallas.
And when I tell you, these kids from like 5 years old, Deion has trained and molded these kids into what they are today.
Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, the other part of that, he's not only selling out Colorado's stadiums, he's selling out the stadiums that he's going to. So they making money off of Deion.
That's why I say everybody winning.
Everybody's winning. Yeah.
That's the team I want to be on with.
Everybody ain't happy about that. Everybody ain't happy about it. They want it all to themselves. They don't want to share none with Deion, but Deion gonna keep doing what he's doing. And obviously, we team Deion over here. I love what he's doing. I love the fact that he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's making them boys again. You see the people on the sideline. You see the people Quavo was there. I'm like, these people are all here on the sideline because Deion is bringing it. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and put this disclaimer out. We have to be ready when we get Deion on the show.
Yeah.
We got to be ready because everything he touch is turning to gold. So we got to be ready. I'm still after him. I had a DeSoto player that is a coach on Colorado, and his mama said, "Are you out here?" And I said, "No." I said, "I would love to tell him to give me a ticket." She said, "I got you." And I said, "Oh no, you gonna give me a ticket to a game? I'm gonna be scrapping them some money to go, y'all. And if I get close, I'm gonna be like, Deion, you and talk to everybody. Come on and talk to the mama. Okay, that's it. Cause you got the familiar face, so they're gonna be able to let us in because you there." So we're going to strategize this, and we're going to be ready to interview. We're going to interview. I'm keeping claiming.
Now, Colorado, the atmosphere is already just amazing. The people there was, you know, warm. I mean, they friendly. So he just made it 10 times even better. Like, seriously, like every time I used to go, I just had so much fun. Even Miss Karen went. We had so much fun, didn't we?
Yes.
I could just imagine being in there, you know, being out there while he there. Like, we're gonna show out.
Okay. All right, you got
cowboy hat. You owe me.
Him
and that cowboy hat.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get one. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to go play.
Look, he took the cowboy hat to a whole nother level. So you know everybody out there went and bought them a cowboy hat. Everybody out there, and he bought him a F-150, a big truck or something, because he had it delivered. So now he got a cowboy hat. He then got a truck. So you know half of Colorado and got cowboy hats and half of Colorado trucks. Went by trucks.
And them shades. And them shades. I'm just saying.
I need me a pair of them.
They said Dion, just on TV contracts, he has made like $45 million.
Sold out them shades like it's a back order.
Wow. But so you've been trying to get Dion for a minute. I believe in God you're going to get him. Come on.
I've been trying to get him. We got the same father, and that's what I keep telling him. I say, even Jesus let the Gentiles eat off the crumbs of the table. Oh, come on now. If you're for the big people, let us eat the crumbs. Just come on and do a little quick interview with us. Come on.
Okay, but I'm gonna give you a little bit of advice. So the Bible also says, "Be ye ready at all times." Okay,
that's what I'm saying. So
if you get up in that stadium and you get an opportunity, what I'm gonna need you to do is pop that phone out and be ready. Okay, get you an exclusive interview just right there on the sideline, or you leaning over the bleachers. Just be ready. Okay, be ye ready.
And so I think that's what God has been telling me. I need to be ready because where it's gonna take us. So I'm getting things in order, y'all. I'm getting things in order.
Well, but Ms. Karen, the key is too, he loves his mama and he don't forget about the parents. So sports moms, hey, we're out here. We need some talk. You know, I just think he would really, really, you know, want to speak to the sports parents and the sports moms and the sports dads. So yeah, because he's big on his mama and the parents. Like, I don't think all, I ain't gonna say all coaches, but they not studying the parents in college. Let's be real.
Right, especially once they get them boys locked in. Once they sign that letter, baby, they don't even have to talk to you.
Exactly. Okay?
And they will tell you that. If he's 18, they don't even have to address you.
Yeah.
So the last thing, I like how they have their own talk show. How the boys fall around with the camera, the prime time show. I don't know if you guys ever watched it on YouTube, but he's developed that, and that has a huge following.
Travis,
that's the oldest son, Leon Jr.
Oh yeah, he's doing content. He's the one doing out a lot of content.
And the daughter's there. She's playing basketball at Colorado too. She left Jackson.
That's so pretty.
He kept them all together. He kept them all together. That's like, wow.
Yeah. All right, you guys. It's been real. I just knew that, you know, it's just so much that was going on in sports. And I was like, okay, they need to hear our voices. We need to piggyback on what's going on because everybody is talking about all these different topics. And I just want to share you guys about what's coming up for us. Our season 4 is going to be put off to next year because it is my hopes and plans that we would have a live show, meaning having the audience, the full production to produce the show. And so that means money. So we are having to figure that out and wait that out and get some sponsorships, some advertising. So if you're somebody that want to advertise on our show, if you're somebody that believes in us and say, I want to be a part of that growth span because we're growing, come and reach out to us. Send us an email at canwetalksports@gmail.com. Be ready. We are taking this thing to the next level. So our season 4 is projected to come out after the NBA final. That's when not a lot of stuff that's going on in sports. And so that's when we're going to launch maybe May, June, and July for the 4th season. So you guys stay tuned. But we are still going to be posting things, other videos during this football season as we prepare for season 4. So if you're a producer and you say, I got you, I know what we can do to take it. If you're a marketing person, reach out to us, let us know, and let's take this thing to the next level. So, we're going to just go, everybody say their party shots, and I'm going to share a video about fentanyl. It's something that they're lacing it with marijuana, and we just want to leave the show with giving some information to the parents to watch out what their kids are smoking, because marijuana is becoming legal in a lot of states. And so you got those other people that are putting stuff on it. And this fentanyl is killing our youth. So we're going to end the show with a video. So go ahead and give us, each one of you guys, give us your parting shots on tonight or what's going on.
Great you on the show. So yeah, I miss you guys. I'm excited. I'm ready for season four. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
I still don't know how she left him.
Oh.
Get out of Dallas.
Oh, thank you, ladies, for having me on. I appreciate it, the call back. I'm rooting for you guys. Again, y'all, it's always a great show whenever you guys do it, even when it's impromptu. But I also wanted to shout out, I forgot to say, to my PIFMA moms. I am also the PR coordinator for PIFMA, which is Professional Football Players Mothers Association. So if you're wanting to get with us and do anything, partnerships, interviews, hit me up at angelapride@pifma.com. Okay. Thank you, ladies. It's been real.
I'm so glad to be back, guys. I know it's, you know, season four coming in 2024. Look, they rhyme, season four. But stay tuned. Listen, thank you to the those that are following us. If you know anyone that, you know, that's in sports, little league, middle school, high school, can't forget about them, college, you know, or NFL, you know. Let them know, have them tune in. I'm just so excited to be back, guys. I'm like Shannon. I ain't been on social media. I ain't done nothing but be a mom.
That's enough.
Oh God. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show.
Carmen.
But. So I'm excited too, Kawashika. I'm so excited. I'm excited for 2024, season four. And it's just such a blessing to be able to see you guys. I have missed you guys so much. So just take care. All of our followers out there, like, you know, if you can support the program in any way, just reach out to Karen, reach out to us. And we look forward to 2024, season four.
All right, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See y'all later. Bye.
We are now starting to see marijuana being mixed with fentanyl in the St. Louis area, and cases of teenagers using the dangerous combo are popping up. I spoke with a WashU doctor who is seeing this firsthand.
Now that recreational marijuana for those 21 years and older is legal in Missouri, a new problem is coming to light. Marijuana laced with fentanyl. Dr. Michael Wenzinger, a staff psychiatrist at Washington University and a medical doctor, doesn't want to alarm people about this, but says parents need to have it on their radar.
In my clinical practice and among some of my peers, we're seeing more kids reporting they thought they were just smoking marijuana when drug screens showed fentanyl, and they would have toxicological or medical side effects consistent with that.
Dr. Wenzinger tells me the marijuana fentanyl mixture is very recent, and it will be interesting to see what happens as the year goes on. Overall, marijuana use among teens is up.
When it comes to teenage use of any substance, their use tends to go up when public perception of risk goes down. So it's not a surprise that we're seeing way more marijuana use.
The latest data shows 30% of 12th graders are or have used marijuana. Doctors say the general feeling is that since it's sold in dispensaries, it's safe to consume.
This is sort of turning into an unintentional experiment of, like, how does this high potency marijuana affect young people?
The pot sold today is much stronger than many teen parents might expect.
The marijuana that they might be used to from their childhood is not the kind of marijuana we're dealing with now. We're dealing with almost a whole different ballgame of potency.
Dr. Wenzinger says marijuana use is linked to more depression and anxiety, especially with a family history of psychosis. It worsens psychiatric conditions, impacts IQ, and is considered a gateway drug. So how do parents of teenagers navigate this new normal of legalized marijuana?
Come at them curious. Like, I really want to know what you like about it. And that opens up the conversation at the start and, like, wanting to relate to them. They'll naturally kind of bridge that into a discussion like, but I also don't like this about it.
Authorities in Illinois, Alabama, Louisiana, and New York all say they have seen cases in their states where marijuana has been laced with fentanyl. So we'll have to see how this evolves over the next year, but we have had some cases in St. Louis.
And certainly it makes it a lot more dangerous.
Absolutely. And kids don't realize that's in there.